we are here at the New Holland booth at NAFB's annual trade talk. With me is Dallas Hanks, who's from Utah State University, and Dallas has a vision. Dallas has a vision of soybeans and canola growing on the roadways and being turned into biodiesel. Tell us a little bit about this vision of yours, Dallas.
You know, you make it sound like that, it sounds kind of crazy, but actually it's a very non-traditional approach to utilizing some public lands that are not being utilized as well as they could be right now. So what we're trying to do is figure out the agronomic aspects of producing, like you said, oilseed feedstocks along areas that are maintained. And we're spending money to maintain these things. And basically what we need to do is get something out of that maintenance. And so let's turn this into a productive thing rather than a negative thing.
How long have you been working on this idea, Dallas?
We pitched it to Utah Department of Transportation in the fall of 06. They bid on it immediately. We got started in research in 2007, so it's really new.
But it's expanded, I understand, to quite a few universities.
Yes, we've been lucky enough to get a national coalition with an executive committee driving that coalition. We have land-grant universities from all around the country involved in this, and we're excited about their involvement, we're excited about their interest, and we are excited to put some seeds in the ground.
What are the benefits of this to the communities, to the biodiesel industry? What are the benefits that you're looking at as far as implementing this idea?
Sure. One thing that we're really hard-pressed at this point is feedstock for biodiesel. That's probably our main sticking point that we want to overcome. And so what this does is this gives us the ability, we think, to pick the low-hanging fruit, maybe from half a billion on up gallons of feedstock, and put that into the fuel stream immediately. And so basically that's one benefit. The second benefit is reduction in costs that it takes to maintain these lands. I mean, we pay tremendous amounts of money in each state to mow grass, take care of weeds, and so what this would do then is take away those maintenance costs. Third thing is it would make the carbon footprint go down dramatically on these lands. Rather than putting carbon into them, and rather than using all this carbon-based fuel for just mowing, we would actually have now a net of getting some carbon credits or something like that out of them.
How has New Holland helped out with this project?
New Holland has been wonderful from the get-go on this. What they have done is they have said, please run 100% biodiesel in our tractors. We love that at Utah State University, and we knew immediately that we needed to partner up with them. And they were very, very gracious in giving us some equipment to help us with our research costs and further this project.
Has the National Biodiesel Board been involved?
You know, we have been so lucky that they have also climbed on board with us in support of this project, and they are one of the main monetary financiers of this project, and we are very grateful to them and their expertise and their guidance, and together under their umbrella we feel like we can make this a very successful program.
Well, where are you at as far as this is concerned? This would have to be a state-by-state effort, I assume.
Yes, we'd leave that up to the individual departments of transportation and local land-grant universities to work out the logistics of this, which they would be expert at. We wouldn't try to put a model on the whole state, on the whole country. And basically what we would do then is we would allow that flexibility to be adjusted throughout the country. We are in the stages of ready. Our alliance is ready to roll out these demo plots, and we're just gathering funding for that and exploring funding for that right now. But we're ready to roll out the demo. We think we have enough of the technical issues overcome to actually start putting some plants on the sides of freeways.
And what states is this going to happen in first?
The first place that's going to put some plants on the side of the freeway, we believe, is Tennessee. They actually are going to go just a little different direction, which is fine. They are going to go with a switchgrass and see how that works in these types of arenas. Michigan is probably lined up next to them, along with North Carolina. Washington is following them very closely. And so that's kind of the order we think we'll roll this out in.
Now, is it important for them to have a biodiesel processing facility there in the state?
It would be useful, but at this point, what we would like to do more than anything is we would like to prove the agronomic aspects of this and make sure that we can produce this economically and sustainably before we get too far ahead. And those infrastructures will come rapidly. You know, it's kind of like the field of dreams. And so if we can get this feedstock established, then the production facilities will come.
Well, what it seems like there's an aesthetic value to this as well.
That's very interesting. There is a tremendous aesthetic value to this, and that is it beautifies. In fact, in Utah, this is very, very significant because we have a very high weed population. We only mow once, and we only have the funds to mow part of the freeway. And so the rest of the freeway now becomes a rogue vegetative growth area, and it harbors a lot of pests and very noxious things. And so what this would do then is make the roadsides much more aesthetically pleasing.
And most of the crops that you're talking about are pretty low maintenance, easy to grow, and multi, you know, you could get several different crops out of them in a year.
Yeah, what we would like to see is we would like to see the lowest input, no till, no irrigation, and we've even explored things like biosolids for our fertility inputs. And so we would actually utilize these types of things. The crops we're looking at are very low input crops like safflower and canola. You know, if we put 50 units of N on these things, we think we've died and gone to heaven. And so beans would certainly be another thing. It'd just be a lower yielding type deal. But with the economic reality there, you're getting a lot of free land to grow the beans on. So now it works out that lower yield can be profitable.
I appreciate you sharing it with us, Dallas. Here at the New Holland booth at NAFB Trade Talk, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.